This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
All right. Welcome, folks, to another edition here of Krantz's Corner, the Dolphins Roundtable. And folks, it's been a couple weeks, but I am back live at the Players Lounge Barbershop. That's right. I don't have this background. You know, I have Tyreek Hill in the background now. If you could see him, the mural on the wall, the Pouncies are right above that as well. But we're here at the Players Lounge Barbershop in Davie, like we'll be once a week during the football season coming up for college and pro football. But we're doing the Dolphins Roundtable today. We're going to focus on the defense today. Last week was the offense. 1 week from Wednesday, camp opens. It's that easy. Rookies are reporting and camp is open. Football season is back. This, 8 week, 9 week, whatever it's been for all of us here, trying to find stuff to podcast about. It is finally over. We're going to talk about some decent football coming up soon. The usual suspects, as normal, are here with me, or us today. Mike from DolphinsTalk.com, Doug LeDurong, Jason Sarney here as always. Fellas, we're going to start with the defense today. First off, welcome back to Krantz's Corner. Everyone who's watching, listening, and supporting us as always, we appreciate that. But we're going to go defensive side of the ball first, and I'm going to throw this one question at the three of you to start, and then we'll talk about the individual units a little bit and Anthony Weaver as well. Best unit on defense and unit that needs the most help and why? Dougley, let's start with you here. Let's see what you got here. Best unit and unit that needs the most help in your eyes.
Best unit, there's a few. See, I would say pass rusher, but I don't know the health of Chubb and Phillips, so I'm going to leave that one out. But to me, it's pretty deep with Mo, with Chop, with Shaq, and all those guys. I would say best for me is probably going to be corner, Fuller, Ramsey. I do like Cam Smith. I think he can actually be really productive. And then we have Kader Kohou in there. Needs help is probably defensive tackle. We have a plethora of guys and, you know, Sealer's still there. But we need that guy in the middle. I think when the 3-4 technique, Sealer's more of that outside guy than that inside guy. And to me, you know, we signed what, 12? I'm not even exaggerating. defensive tackles. And we have to find the guy that can really be that NT in that 3-4 set. So to me, it's defensive tackle until I see otherwise, because they're trying to replace Christian Wilkins with about four guys, and we'll see if that actually pans out.
Mike, let's go to you here on that same question.
Yeah, I would probably agree with Doug. I think the secondary is probably the most solid unit there. You have Ramsey, who will be in the Hall of Fame someday there. Holland, who is going to be very motivated playing for a new deal. With, you know, if it's in Miami or not, he'll be motivated. Jordan Poyer, you know, he's has the smarts. It's just he's getting older. He just turned 33, I believe. Can he hold up for a full season? Kendall Fuller, I'm not as high as him as some others, but he's okay. And then you throw in the Cam Smiths, the Nick Needhams, Marcus May as a sort of that third safety. Kader Kohou, who struggled last year. Hopefully he can have a little bit of a rebound this year. That position group, just the whole secondary in general, has the most talent with the least amount of question marks. The line up front here it's a mess. I mean, Zach Sealer's very good, but Zach has had the luxury of his entire time so far in Miami of playing next to Wilkins and playing next to guys who got all the attention. Right. Now Zach Sealer will be getting all the attention. Will he put up those same numbers? I don't know. Calais Campbell, great, but he is going to be 38 on September 1st. And you have to wonder how many snaps per game he can go, if this is the year where, you know, he hit the age limit where he's just not the same guy anymore. I know he was great last year in Atlanta, but this ain't last year. This is this year now. So hopefully he's got one more year in the bank. And after that, you got a bunch of guys that are lucky to be in the NFL. You got Jonathan Harris has played in 33 total games ever. I think he's only had 8 or 9 starts. You have Neville Gallimore. I think he's played like 50-something games. He's only started like 10 or 12 or 14, somewhere around there. I don't think he's ever started more than one game in a season. T.R. Tart quit on his team last year. He quit. I mean, there's something going on there. Benito Jones is very limited. I know he played a lot last year for the Lions, but they were very, fine with letting him walk, which should say something. I don't know. I just think that front part of the line and how they navigate this now without Christian Wilkins is going to be paramount for this upcoming season, because I think the pass rush, those guys will come back in time. It'll be fine. And they got Chop Robinson, you got Shaq Barrett. They're going to be fine at linebacker. I think secondary is strong. But if they can't stop the run, and if teams are just running down their throat, and if they're letting Miami's offense just sit on the sideline because they can't get on the field because they can't stop the run, that's going to be an issue. So who steps up in that group and can be a player this year on the defensive line? I don't know.
Sarney, finish us off here.
I have the same general answers as the other guys, but I guess I'll kind of spice it up a little bit with the most deep group. I think we're just going to combine them, and from like being lazy, we're just going to call them defensive backs. Okay. Let's call them all defensive backs, because you got a lot of guys there who could play safety, who could play the boundary, also slot corner. There's a lot of potential Swiss Army knives, you know? So I think with that ability, it's fantastic. Now, if you go inside to the safety core, purebred safeties, I see two, top-heavy, of course, with Javon Holland and free agent addition Jordan Poyer. But then you kind of have like Elijah Campbell, Nick Needham as a cross trainer, Jalen Ramsey. I need to see maybe another safety or two come into the mix. That would be great. And Mike, you hit the nail on the head with the defensive line. I'm not confident with really anybody else outside of Zach Sealer. Of course, Calais Campbell, fantastic signing. But, you know, from a pass rush standpoint, you really want to hope that Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb are back. Because take their, you know, 15, 16 sacks, which they had prior combined to their injury last year. The Dolphins lost 25 quarterback sacks from their franchise leading 56 from last year. Wilkins, Van Ginkel, Ogba, so on and so forth. So they'll probably be fine when everyone's whole on the sack, on the pass rushing standpoint. But yeah, stopping the run. You lost Wilkins, who was part of that top 7 rush defense, in addition to what those sack numbers were. So nothing really in addition. Happy overall with the core, what it could be. But those position groups, when you slice them down, a little bit more interesting.
What if I said to the three of you, and Mike, you sort of hit on this a little bit about Calais Campbell coming back to Miami, whether this is the swan song year or not, whether this is the last year he plays or not, that he's in for a monster year because he's going to be playing in Miami in front of this crowd down here that he played college football. Is that too much to shoot for? Mike, I'll start with you.
No, it's
also
not too much to shoot for, right. but we've seen this in this league before. Sometimes your body just hits a wall and it can't hold up like it used to. And I think at 38, you know, if it's a quarterback, we've seen Tom Brady, we've seen Rodgers play well past their expiration date, let's just say. But that's quarterback. They don't get hit. They don't get touched. This is a defensive lineman, and he was great last year, which does show me some hope that he has at least one more year here. But again, Shaq Barrett is not a young man. Jordan Poyer is not a young man. The Miami Dolphins, they let go a lot of guys in their mid-20s who were young, ascending players. And I understand a lot of it was because of finances, and they can't keep everybody. I get it. But they replaced them with old men. And you're now banking on the side of the ball and a lot of old men to have one more year at the level that they've always played at. Shaq Barrett was, you know, he was fine last year. Does he have one more year left in him? Jordan Poyer, you know, he pretty much signed here for next to nothing, I think just because he wants to play close to home because he lives in the area. But does he have one more year left in him? I mean, it's a nice story, but does he have a year left in him? Those are legitimate questions because they went from a very young team to a very old team, especially on this side of the ball.
Right.
Literally overnight. And you know, experience went way up, but young players in their prime. Andrew Van Ginkel was in his prime. We let him go for like $1 million or $2.
Right.
We signed Shaq Barrett. You're telling me we don't got $1 million or $2? I'd rather have Andrew Van Ginkel. That's me. They might know something. Weaver might not want it. Whatever. That's his call, his decision, I guess. Whatever. But we let go of a lot of young players. And we signed a bunch of older players. So we'll see how it goes. But that is another concern on that side of the ball.
Right. All right, so let me pose this question to Jason Dudley, since Mike kind of answered it just now also. Jordan Poyer, Shaq Barrett, Calais Campbell, most likely to fall off the cliff this year out of those three guys in your eyes. Dudley, I'll start with you here. Most likely to have that season that Mike's talking about, basically.
I don't
Not
think
easy.
Shaq?
Okay.
I don't think it's Shaq. I think he's still younger, and I think he's still got something in him. Probably Jordan Poyer, if I had to pick. Calais Campbell is going to be a situational pass rusher, right. And last year he had a fantastic year, better than he did with the Baltimore Ravens, and he still has that high motor, and, you know, I still think that situationally he'll play, and, you know, he's going to help us out. Jordan Poyer is in a situation where we need him to stay healthy, and we need him to move.
Right.
And that's kind of hard to do the older you get. You know, the Bills had him play more linebacker role than that safety role. So if I had to pick out of the three, I would say Jordan Poyer.
Sarny, what say you here on this one?
The tough question. And, right. I, you know, I'm going to pick a little bit and piggyback a little bit of what Doug said. You know, if it is Poyer and there is a reason to use him in a newish or different or sparingly or whatever the phrase you want to use – this Weaver defense, with the utilization of the amount of safeties on the field at a time, with the way that he'll use all of his defensive backs, I think it just creates a lot of intrigue. So even if Poyer does kind of, let's say, fall off, and here comes my Hollywood script here, you know, he's mentored young players, most especially, you know, a guy like a Nick Needham who might be playing safety. It's been out on social media. Poyer has been a phenomenal mentor for everybody. He's been an absolute leader. You know what? Maybe if he is falling off, so to speak, his mentorship and tutelage during the week could kind of, you know, through osmosis, kind of translate into the younger players kind of playing in those snaps. You know what I'm saying? So I think he's brought in for a lot of mentorship. Mike, you referenced the price tag. You know, he's not being paid as one of the top 20 safeties in the league. He's just not anymore, not a Pro Bowler anymore. And as Doug said, used in a different role. I like the different role, veteran, Anthony Weaver. All of these things kind of make a lot of intrigue for what this defensive backfield is going to ultimately look like. I can't see, or I don't want to see, a pass rush fall off with Calais Campbell. We need his pass rush until everyone's whole again. And, you know, I think that's where we're going to stay. This okay. Pointer maybe.
So I'm going to sidebar here one more time. With all the new faces on defense, because we referenced this a couple times, that offense looks almost the same except for a couple new faces. Nice faces too, Odell Beckham, Jonnu Smith, a couple faces going on the offensive line. But defensively, we've talked about this a lot since the end of the season until now, and now actually previewing the defense going into camp. Who do you think has the biggest impact of a new face, one of these new guys on the team this year on this defense, in this Anthony Weaver led defense now? Any of the new guys that have come to this team, who do you think is going to have the big one? Mike, I'll even start with you here also.
That's a good question.
I'm a journalist.
Yeah, I know. The hard hitting questions for like 60 minutes.
Right. In my suit and tie, Right.
Yeah, that's a very good question. I would probably lean to Jordan Brooks.
Right. Let me tell you, I was going to answer it first before I said it, and I was going to go with Jordan Brooks because I feel like, and we'll get to the linebacker court in a little bit, but I feel like that's the one group we really haven't mentioned at all. Best, worst, need help, not. And it's funny, but I do think Jordan Brooks, I'm with you on that one too, Mike.
Yeah, because I think Long is Long, and he's very good. Jerome Baker, I liked a lot. And I think here with Brooks, they're not the same type of player, but they're like in the same range of type player. They're not like a superstar. They're just kind of like a proven NFL linebacker. But I think he brings something that that side of the ball kind of needed. So I think he's probably the one who will see the most impact from right away. Jordan Poyer, if he can play like he has in years past, I would actually throw him in that mix because he is an upgrade over guys like Elliott and Jones. The only thing is, once again, the H factor, you do have to factor that in. And then even on the front of the line with Calais Campbell, if he's on like a snap count, which I have to think he might be a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, I would go with Jordan Brooks. I think he's the one who just sort of like week one, you know, fans are going to be like, whoa, this guy can play. I think him. Shaq as well. Shaq Bear, just because we don't know. Right. Chubb, I think we know with Chubb. This is going to go into like October, November. I think that's a safe bet. Jalen Phillips, I still think it's not going to be week one, but I still think late September, first part of October is probably more realistic. So I would say Jordan Brooks, but 1A, Shaq Barrett, because that first month or so, someone's got to rush their quarterback. And even right. if there's a miracle and Jalen Phillips comes back week one, he's back. He might not be the same player he was, you know, pre-injury. That might take a few more weeks or like a month or so. So I do think those two off the bat can make the biggest impact for Miami the first month of the year.
Disclaimer with your answers to it. I should have said this before Mike went. You could say Chop or those guys also. Those are new faces.
Yeah,
any of those on there. I know you. I'm not trying to sway it. Right. Yeah.
No.
100%. Right.
It's just tough with rookies. I did think about him. I just and I like Chop a lot. I just think it might take him a little bit here.
Sure.
To get accustomed to the NFL game. I don't know if he's a guy who's going to come in like first game first. He starts getting sacked left and right. I think it might take him a year.
Right.
I like him a lot. I love the pick, but I just think I don't know if it's going to happen right away.
All right, Doug, same question for you.
Yeah, I was going to, as soon as you asked that, my first thought was Brooks, because of the style he plays and how he's able to drop back into coverage. And that was one of our biggest things was being able to stop tight ends. And I've seen Jordan Brooks, you know, drop back and shut down Cooper Kupp. So, like, I've seen him with his versatility, his speed and stuff. But to not pick the same answer, I would actually go with Fuller, Kendall Fuller. I think he's going to be a good addition with Jalen Ramsey. And with this style of defense, and, you know, you look at what Jalen Ramsey did with the Rams, he was all over the place. And then, you know, we kind of came here. We kind of solidified him to an outside boundary corner. Now you have Fuller, who they can interchange, move them around, even with Cam Smith maybe possibly being intertwined. But I think Fuller is going to be a nice addition. He had a little bit of a down year last year, giving up 9 touchdowns, but he's still very solid. We saw, you know, with Xavier Howard, who was one of my favorites, he got banged up too much and kind of became a liability after he had that 10 interception year. So bringing in a Kendall Fuller to match with Jalen Ramsey, I think, was going to be really good and going to help that secondary out a lot.
Yep, definitely could help out there. Sarny, last one for this question.
Doug did it again. He stole my cornerback. I'll never forget. He stole Brent Grimes from me in the mock draft.
He sure did.
I'll never forget it. But no, he's absolutely right. I mean, the Dolphins have been trying to crack this code of the next Pat Surtain and Sam Madison, and they kind of swung and missed with Xavier and Byron Jones. They kind of swung and missed with Xavier and Jalen Ramsey for a whole. What the hell? Try again with Jalen Ramsey and Kendall Fuller. So if they can crack that code, look, I'm looking at the Jets twice, Stephon Diggs with the Texans, Devontae Adams with the Ravens, Cooper Kupp and, you know, Puka with the Rams. They're playing some receivers. So I'm not going to say anyone new for the sake of saying anyone new. I'm going to wholeheartedly agree with Doug and still be very upset over Brent Grimes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Right. Yeah, that's a good. You're never going to live that one down, Doug Lee. That's it. You're in forever on that one. Yeah, I just thought it was interesting because of the fact that we've talked for so long now about new faces and how different this team is going to look. And which brings me to the next question or the next topic that we'll even talk about, Anthony Weaver. I don't think anyone really knows what to expect from an Anthony Weaver defense. We've seen like kind of what he's like, but what it's going to look like. I am most excited to see, and I know this sounds probably not crazy, but I'm most excited to see what he does with Jalen Ramsey. I'm excited to see what he does, because when you have a threat, when you have a missile in your back pocket, you use it, and you use it in any way you possibly can. And he even said he's going to be his chess piece and move him around. So I just wonder what it's going to be like. But what, from what you've seen, I know that the three of you guys watch film, watch tape, watch this, watch that. I get it. What excites you about Anthony Weaver with this defense? New faces and some old faces, but what excites you the most about what possibly this defense could look like? Or, to be quite honest, in my boat, I don't know what to expect. I'm excited to see what the explosiveness could be from this defense, what anything could be from this defense. But if you have seen, or whatever the case may be, what excites you the most about Anthony Weaver being here? And Mike, I'll go back to you and I'll start with you.
Yeah, and let me throw this out there first, because I know people in the comments, and I'm going to get tweets about this. I do not like Anthony Weaver. I think Anthony Weaver is will be fine as a defensive coordinator. Let me throw out that disclaimer, because what I'm about to say next, I learned, triggers people sometimes. The people that know Anthony Weaver best never promoted him. The Ravens had an open position at defensive coordinator. John Harbaugh spoke so highly of Anthony Weaver. But when push came to shove, he did not promote him to defensive coordinator. When the Ravens coordinator got the head coaching job in Seattle, he had an open spot at defensive coordinator. He did not bring Anthony Weaver with him. So that makes me a little bit nervous, I'm not going to lie. Anthony Weaver is a Rex Ryan disciple at the end of the day. He's going to bring pressure. He's going to blitz. It's so funny. We went from Josh Boyer, who blitzed like every play,
right,
to Vic Fangio, who never blitzed. And now we're going to a guy who's going to be more like Josh Boyer than Vic Fangio in that way. So I have no earthly idea what this is going to look like, really. But once again, not hating, stating, Anthony Weaver was a coordinator once in his career with the Houston Texans, with a Hall of Famer in J.J. Watt, and they were terrible. Now, I know Watt's only one player. It's not the whole team. I get it. But it was a mess. In the middle of the year, he switched from a 4-3 to a 3-4 or from a 3-4. Like, it was just bad. So, you know, that's okay, though, because I'd rather have guys on their second chance after they maybe learn from some mistakes.
Right.
I'm just saying, we don't know. And here's the deal. I know Vic Fangio wasn't popular with the players. I know the fan base likes to blame him for everything under the sun. He was a proven coordinator with a proven track record, with a proven resume. You kind of knew what you were going to get. And once again, last year, at the end of the season, with all those injuries on defense, they had a lot. They were a top 10 defense. With Weaver, we got a lot of new faces, downgraded up front on the line. You got two guys, your two superstars on that side of the ball. You don't know when they're going to come back and play. And if they do come back, are they going to be the same that they were pre-injury? There's just a lot of questions here. And I think we have enough talent to be good. The question is, is it going to take 6 or 8 weeks until we see good? Because they can't wait a half a season for everyone to get on the same page here. And with a lot, you know, last year was a whole new system with Vic, but the players have played together for many years. There was continuity, Wilkins and Jerome. And like, there was continuity amongst the players, at least. Here, you're putting in a whole new system and all new players thrown into the mix. They can't wait, or it can't be half a season until everyone's finally on the same page. Because as we know in this league, half the season, you might be out of it by then. They got to gel like in that first month and be a top NBA competent unit on that side of the ball.
Right. Dougley, what do you think?
So Anthony Weaver was, there goes my camera.
There's
Anthony
done.
Weaver was one of my top three candidates. I really liked Anthony Weaver. And when they went out and got him, I was happy because of the style of player coaching he was. The fact that he did already do a stint with the Houston Texans, even though that defense had nobody. Besides J.J. Watt, that defense had nobody, and the team itself was carried by Deshaun Watson and then fell apart and got a new head coach. It was just the end of that team. But he learned from really, really good defensive coordinators in Wink Martindale, Rex Ryan, and now McDonald. And I think he's going to take a little bit from everyone, because McDonald wasn't so much of an aggressive blitzer like Rex Ryan was. McDonald was a blitzer that would mess with your head. So you would think like, oh, the linebackers or the defensive ends are going to blitz, and he would blitz a safety, and he would drop different guys back, and he would mess with the quarterback's mind a lot. And I really am interested to see what he does with this Dolphins team. Now, when it comes to the Dolphins, I like the fact that we went from having Brian Flores, because what Boyer did was what Brian Flores did. There was no difference from one to the other. He ran the same exact defense. That defense was built and predicated off of blitzing. And now we still have a big portion of those players on this team. And then Weaver also started to add players that fit his scheme. You know, he goes out and get Calais Campbell, Jordan Brooks with the speed, all of these guys that could fit in to his style. Also, you look at Hamilton, who he was obviously defensive line slash head coach with the Ravens, but Hamilton was all over the place in McDonald's defense. He was down at the line, he was back playing safety, he was on the boy, he was just everywhere. That's when Javon Holland was getting much praise, is when he was everywhere. Same thing with Jalen Ramsey. Anthony Weaver, and you heard this from all of the defensive players when they were talking about the difference between Weaver and Fangio. Weaver and Fangio is he's more communicating and he is more of a player's coach. So where you fit the best is where you're going to be played, versus that old school style, which, again, I'm not knocking Fangio because he did a lot with nothing towards the end of the season, but he was more, this is going to work, just listen to me. And that was for, you know, keeping people where they're supposed to be. Whereas Weaver, people are going to be everywhere, working everywhere. You're going to have Ramsey going to one side or the other, tracking different players. You're going to have people playing in the box, all that stuff. So I'm very interested to see how it works. I'm interested to see what he learned with the Houston Texans. Obviously, you know, people did like him. He had head coaching opportunities and interviews, not only, you know, this year, but previous years. So I'm very interested to see what he can do. It normally takes about 4 weeks for a new system to be installed, but I'm wondering if it's going to take less, because this defense has players still left over that are used to that blitzing style defense. So it's going to be interesting, but I'm excited, and I like that they went with a guy that McDaniel coached with and McDaniel has that camaraderie with, because we saw it, the combine, them laughing together and stuff.
Right.
It's not so separated like it was with Fangio, where there was no, you know, collaboration, you know, and, you know, we saw it. I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before when the defense was falling apart and McDaniel said, fix this at, you know. So we'll see how it pans out, but I'm excited. And I think he can do better than we've had.
Right. Give me some aggressive defense. That's what I want at this point right now. Sardi, finish us off here.
You know, it's funny, you know, as much as I disliked how an ex-coordinator did things prior to an ex-coordinator who did things in Boyer and Fangio, completely opposite. But if you can get that right mix of exotic blitz packages, last year, yes, 56 team sacks, only 1 point, he agrees, only 1.5 from quarterbacks. 1.5 coming from quarterbacks. Last year, the year before that, out of the 40 sacks, 4 of them came from defensive backs. And the year before that, 9.5 came from defensive backs. So it's kind of been this decline in defensive back blitz packaging. So I'd love to see that. I'd love to see what safety is going to step up and maybe be a little bit more of that Brandon Jones torpedo from 2 years ago. He led all of defensive backs in sacks in 2021, I believe. Javon Holland's rookie year, Javon Holland got a 2.5 sack, seasonal output. So I want to see that. I don't want to see under 2. I want to see over 6 sacks from the defensive backfield as a group.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be fun to see at this point. Like I said, aggressive is aggressive. By the way, shout out to Sonoris Moss, former first round picker, came over and said hello during this. That's what you're gonna get here at the barbershop. You're gonna get
ready. Leave it to a receiver to take my thunder. Thanks.
Right. Just throwing that out there since in the middle of this, I was giving high fives. And
while talking about defensive backs, a receiver comes in and gets
I should have gotten his opinion on it to see what he thought at that point as well there. So, the Anthony Weaver thing, it'll be fun to see, because we're not going to see much, if anything, in training camp outside of whatever. But those first 4 weeks of the season, I'm excited to see how he kind of uses what he has until they're at full strength. Because, like we've been talking about here, from I don't know what's going to happen with Chubb. Jalen Phillips looks like he can go out and play tomorrow, but that doesn't mean he's football ready to go out and play. And by the way, Jalen Phillips putting out those videos, putting shame to all us men out there when he's walking around in those videos. Good God Almighty.
Here's what I'll say about Weaver here, real quick.
Well, yep.
Week two, beat Josh Allen. That many people were 2-13 against him in the last 15 games.
Right.
If he beats Josh Allen at home on a short week, slows them down, that would go a long way into sort of turning people like me, who might have some questions about him, into hardcore, faithful Anthony Weaver fan club members. Let's just say.
It's funny, too, because the last time we beat him we were blitzing him. If you remember, scoop and score from Ingram was a blitz from the safety that smacked him. So, I agree.
Here's something else, too. I was looking at the roster of the Bills. The Bills wide receiver room stink. I mean, it stinks on toast. I mean, they got nothing.
Right.
They have when you're banking on Keon Coleman, it might be funny in press conferences. Great. He is slow as molasses. And this is the league where it's speed all the way. Their fourth and fifth wide receivers are Chase Claypool and Matt Collins.
Right.
They have nothing at wide receiver. Nothing. And where Jordan Brooks is going to help. They do have two tight ends who are pretty damn good, though.
Right.
And Dalton Kincaid and Knox. Jordan Brooks can help maybe neutralize them. There is no reason. I don't know what's going to happen week one, but no reason Miami shouldn't have success week two against that offense of the Bills. If Josh Allen's going to turn and hand off and throw to tight ends because there's no wide receiver threats, I mean, if they don't beat the Bills week two at home on a short week, so, I mean, come on. At some point, you got to beat this team.
By the way,
I got one.
Yep.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. For any defensive coordinator to be crowned, they need to figure out the mobile quarterback mixed with the tight end. It's almost like, and I'm going to call Josh Allen a ridiculous comparison if I have to cross-sport it. A while back, there was a player in the NBA that totally just changed how you have to roster a team, and that was Shaquille O'Neal with the Hackershack. You need to bring on two or three extra big men just for the fouls. For a guy like Josh Allen, quarterbacks like there are now in this league who can just destroy you in either way, you have to figure that out, or else he's going to run rampant and be one of the most dominant players in the league. So I don't care if it's one player in one aspect of the series to spy the damn quarterback, to neutralize the tight end, or God willing, both. They've got to stop Josh Allen, eventually down the line, Lamar Jackson. Look at what you have to deal with now in the AFC as well, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richard. You're playing these guys. Right. You've got to figure it out.
The best part is that with that, and I know that we're going on a tangent here, but it's fun. That Buffalo offense, doesn't it look like a couple years ago? And I'm saying a couple, but it's a couple years back. That Dolphins offense, the two tight ends set, run the ball and
they're
going
to run the ball
ends.
And they're going to throw to tight ends.
Like that's it. Like
they're going to control the clock and try. Right. Yeah, which they look. It's still only July 16th, and there's a lot of wide receivers.
But it looks like it, though,
they
right?
can still make a move here. Right. But yeah, as of today. They have their passing game outside of the tight ends. They don't put the fear of God in anybody. In this league, I think you kind of need to have one guy who puts the fear of God in somebody.
Right. Even when they just had Diggs there, it did have that kind of effect on the offense. Whereas a big play guy on the outside that you had to kind of worry about whether or not him and Josh Allen were on the same page or not towards the end of the season. But this just eerily looks like Fasano and David Martin and like the seasons they had that year when both guys caught like 50, 60 balls. They had like,
here comes Devon touchdowns. Best.
Right.
Nice player, Devon Best, but I don't want him. He's like a number one or two.
Right. You know? But like, that's like the Bills just, they throw out one of their guys to be their number one guy. Can you imagine Chase Claypool and Matt Collins? Good God. Yeah. Wow.
Chase Claypool won't even make the team. Chase won't make the team.
They're war chest of draft picks, but if you're not actively destroying the phone trying to call up the San Francisco 49ers if you're the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
That's the worry. If you're a Dolphin fan, is where is IU going to go it better not go to the AFC. Keep him in the NFC.
Well, sounds like the Patriots are might be the team.
I was just about to say, right?
New England. Then you got Adams going to the Jets. It could be
right.
interesting.
Right. But again, it goes back to that. Like, the AFC is a dominant conference. If you're bringing in more receivers, I mean, look at how many receivers the Dolphins are facing this year. It's of paramount importance to have that aspect of it. But my God, if the Bills. The funny thing is, yes, the receiving corps is bad, but they have four twos or 4-3. You know what I mean? So if they get a number one, changes everything. So I want to see Ayuk go to like the Seahawks or something like that. We play the Seahawks, I get it. But just get him out. Just keep him away from rivals. That would be nice.
Keep Davante Adams out of New York. Keep Ayuk out of the Patriots or Buffalo. I'd be very happy with those things happening and not happening.
I have a question for everyone. I have a question. Ooh. Speed round question. Just yes or no. Speed round question. Does Channing Tindall make the roster this year?
No.
I'm with Doug.
Yeah. I don't think so.
It's like I saw my life flash before my eyes and I didn't answer because I was like, that's a negative answer. And it's like, no. I don't know.
It's sad too because you look back at your first, second, third round picks, even fourth round
picks. All the players from Georgia, he's the one that can't play.
Like all these guys.
We got
guys,
the one guy from Georgia who can't play.
There was like what? Out of like a 2 or 3 year span, there were like 25 Georgia Bulldogs on defense chosen.
All went to the Eagles pretty much, and they're all good.
They all went to the Eagles.
You got the one dud.
The thing is speed. If you can't harness the speed or get into an NFL, you can get away with not – being able to do anything else really well other than just being really, really fast in college. Right. You can get away with that. But as we've seen, it just is not translating to the pros right yet.
Doesn't seem it, right? At this point, it doesn't even see it. All right. So let's – I think that's going to be it for today on the defensive – Anthony Weaver defense is just we just haven't seen enough to kind of comment too much on it. So, but this has been good. Listen, we're a week away now from camp. We're a week away from – actual stuff happening on a football field and not just talking about free agency and signing and stuff like that. It'll be a lot of fun to see what this Dolphins team kind of looks like in these first couple of weeks. And I can't believe it. And I guess I'm ruining it anyway, but we just went through an entire podcast and I didn't even mention the quarterback's name once.
Thank God. I'm sick of talking about it.
I didn't even say his name here because I didn't want to say it, but like, this is unfortunately, and you three know this, if nothing gets done in the next week,
it's going
to be every single question to start off every single presser. And not only with McDaniel, or if Greer comes out and does, the preseason chatter, he might, probably not. It's going to be even to some of the players on offense. And, Tyreek Hill is going to still talk about it.
Tyreek Hill did rounds last week talking about Tua's contract.
I know. Dude. It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. Right. Yeah. It's not helping at all.
Not helping
at this point. So we'll see. All right. So we're a week away from everything. We'll be back with you next week as camp begins. Camp opens. Rookies are getting to camp this week as well. So football is starting, folks. We're back. We've gotten through the
no special team show where we get to rip Danny Crossman for like, half hour.
You know what? We actually should probably do the first 10 minutes next week and just leave them. I'm just going to sit back. Turn you push.
There's nothing more to add at this point. Really,
mute on my mic and just let you guys.
There's nothing more to add.
Hey, listen, he's got one more year to redeem himself, Danny Crossman. Listen to me.
I'll give him one more month. If he stinks by October 1st, get rid of him then.
With the new kickoff rules, someone's gonna figure it out. Why not Danny Crossman?
Are we gonna see? Here's our special teams preview episode. Are we gonna see Tyreek Hill on kickoffs?
I hope not. No. I hope there's enough talent and speed where if you haven't learned your lesson by putting premium receivers back there, if you're not the Dolphins, I use the word premium loosely, but not your number one or number two target.
Okay. I just want to make sure. It'll be fun to see that, but I guess
in a pinch, if you need in like a fourth quarter Hail Mary.
You're down 10. You're getting the ball. At that point, 4 minutes left in the game. Maybe you put Tyreek back there. We'll see what ends up happening with that. All right, that'll do it for us this week. Let's get everyone to know where everyone can get their stuff. Sarny, where's everyone going to find your stuff?
Dolphins Talk starting to do an undrafted rookie free agent series. Do not judge me by the first one today, or cross reference the injured reserve non-active list, or whatever the heck it is. But you can find me there, Dolphins Wire, and. Right here with you guys.
Dougley.
YouTube.com/DougleyDoWrong. Twitter, everywhere. You just ugly do wrong.
Love it. Mike.
Check out the website, dolphinstalk.com, on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, at dolphinstalk.
All right, and you can catch us all here once a week on Krantz's Corner Dolphins Roundtable. It's been another one in the books here as we get prepared for camp to open. This is exciting. Thank goodness we actually have something. I don't care if they'll be in underwear for another month. It doesn't matter to me. I'm very
nobody
happy.
Get hurt.
Just
can't
no,
deal
okay.
with injuries.
Yes, yes. Okay. Good disclaimer. No injuries, please. We can't afford it at this point. And Jalen Phillips, put a shirt on. You're killing us all out there with your videos. Stop it already. That's gonna do it for Sardi, for Mike, for Doug, and Zach Krantz. Thanks for supporting and always watching Krantz's Corner. We'll be back with you next week, I guess, for a kind of just overall primer on camp. It'll probably be the first day or two of camp when we're on here. So we're not going to have much for you except for opinions on what
they
did.
We're going to talk about number one next week, if he's got a deal or not.
I didn't want to say his name, but hopefully we'll have some
if
news.
He's there or not. If he's there or not.
Look, Mike, like a radio professional. You heard that radio tease? That's how we're ending. Krantz's Corner Dolphins Roundtable. Speak to you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.